Okay, this is Beth Smith. I'm at 7163 County Road 110 on the Little Arkansas River where John Spino lives. And he's going to talk to us this morning about his family in Salida and where they came from and what they did, and has lots of things he wants to tell us. Hi, John.
Hi, Beth.
Where do you want to start?
Well, we'll start with my grandfather, Pete Spino, came from Lago, Italy, which is a province of Provenza, or Cosenza, I'm sorry. He came here working on the railroad for a short time and raised enough money to buy what we call a Spino Ranch, which is off of County Road 120. I'm not sure who owns it now, but my father and three or four of his brothers were born there on the ranch. My grandmother, Spino, came from Italy.
Who is she?
I always called her Grandma.
Oh.
So I've got it here somewhere.
Yeah, I think right here.
Louise Capelli, Grandma Spino. That's her name.
Okay.
And my father attended school in Salida up to the second grade.
What school did he go to?
I don't really know. Probably Longfellow, I would imagine. And then he had to work on the ranch to help his father, and he spent a little time on the railroad, and he built one of the first auto courts, which are now called motels.
Can you give me his name? I don't think we talked about that.
I'm sorry. Albert Spino, Sr.
And he was married to?
He was married to Helen Caroach, my mother. They built a motel on 291 right across the street from the ballpark, which is still a ballpark. And the motel is now called the Redwood. No, it's not the Redwood. It's
Woodland.
Woodland, yeah. Woodland Motel. Thanks,
good.
Betty. My memory's slipping. I'm getting old. And I was born, I think, in the Salida Hospital. My brother was born at the motel. They ran that for quite some time. He added four units on each year until he got up to 12. He had a grocery store and a gas station. And
in that same place?
In the same place. Uh-huh. And the house that we lived in is still in the center of the motel. And I remember when I was a little kid, I don't know, maybe three or four years old, my dad had the bright idea to jack the house up with railroad jacks. They raised it about 3 feet, and then they started digging by hand and with horses and dug a basement under the house. And later he built a dance hall under the house. So naturally that made it hard on my brother and I trying to get any sleep whenever he was downstairs yelling. But we do remember a little bit about that. I remember also times when it seems like weather was colder in those years. He had to build fires on top of the ground so that the water would flow to the motel units because it would freeze even though they were down 4 feet or more.
You're blocking them.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead.
Okay. Then he also had a rural route, postal route, to Turret and Whitehorn, which he ran the mail twice a week for 17 years. And on this route, he had a lot of the ranchers and miners were bootlegging whiskey. And Dad told me these stories. He would bring it back to town and sell it for him. And I think he got in a little trouble over that eventually. My mother had a rural route to Garfield 5 days a week.
Mail route?
Mail route. Yeah. And she had that for 27 years. I've got some old pictures, I think, of where she would, sometimes the snow would get too deep for the car, and she would go so far and then borrow a horse from one of the ranchers and carry the mail the rest of the way on horseback. My father and I used to enjoy this because I hated school. He would take me out of school quite often to help him get wood for his motel units or auto court. And I liked that. My brother didn't get involved. He always had to go to school. He furnished wood and coal for the auto court for the people that stayed there. All the rooms had, the units had kitchens, and what he would do is rent them permanently through the winter, and then every spring the people had to move out so he could rent it to the tourists. So then in the fall he'd get new tenants for the winter. So it was pretty rough. They had a hard time, a lot of hard work, as everybody in those years, no, it wasn't easy. And then later, he was able to build another motel about a half a block down the street, which is still on 291. And I don't remember what he called that. Then he had the two motels. Later, he sold those two and built one of the first, I think it might have been the second one on Highway 50, which is the Colorado Lodge. He ran that for a while, and then he built the Redwood Lodge, the Shawano, and then another one called the Western Holiday. So he had built six motels throughout his lifetime. He lived to be 92. My mother came from Calcite. She was born in Calcite, along with her brothers and sisters. Her name was Helen Caroach. I don't know if I said that. They mined limestone for CF&I, Colorado Fuel and Iron, in Pueblo. So they were a hardworking family, all of them. And
did you ever live in Calcite?
We spent our summers in Calcite. We'd spend at least 2 months there every summer. And we really enjoyed that. My mother, besides carrying the mail, cooked for my aunt and uncle, which opened on Highway 50, one of the very first little cafes. It was called the Skelly Motor Inn, which is now the Country Bounty. And they started that with four or five stools and a little counter. And they fried hamburgers in a frying pan to begin with. My mother later on cooked there from noon till, well, probably 7, 8 o'clock at night every day after carrying the mail. And she did that for about 15 years. So it was hard work for them. My mother and father split up when I was around 8 or 9 years old. We lived, I believe it was on G Street, close to the Longfellow School area. Trying to remember some of the things that might be of interest.
I don't think we met your brother. What was his name?
My brother was Albert Spino Jr., called him Speed. He spent most of his time in the automobile business, selling cars for Stapleton Chevrolet after he came back out of the service. Then him and Helen, my sister-in-law, built a small motel, which is still a motel close to the present bowling alley. I ended up going into the Marine Corps when I was 17, turned 17 in July and joined in September. That was late 1945. And I came out in 1948. And before I went to the Marine Corps, I was working underground mining for a mine called American Fluorspar, which is out by King's Crossroads, where 291 and 285 meet. I worked there when I was 14. My mother had to sign a release so I could go underground. And I didn't care much for that.
What were you paid to do that?
I think it was something like $1.50 an hour, which was pretty good then.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I went from there down to Calcite and worked for my uncles and my grandfather, driving truck when I was 15. And we loaded rock, the limestone we had to break with a sledgehammer, and load by hand. They didn't own a steam shovel, as they called them then. And, of course, skip loaders and backhoes and things weren't invented yet. So I did that for quite some time. And I drove a truck down from Calcite to Howard, and we had to dump into the railroad cars. Like I say, I was 15 and didn't have a driver's license, but I got away with that. When I come out of the, back out of the Marine Corps, I'm kind of skipping around here, I worked for Skelly Motor Inn. There weren't any jobs anywhere available until about 1949 or 50. I think it was 49. I got a job at Reynolds Metals, Reynolds Aluminum, underground mining at above the Poncho Hot Springs. John Bayouk, Sr., hired me on again. I had worked for him at American Fluorspar. And we were making, I think it was around $15 a day to begin with, which was pretty good, because I was only getting $35 a week pumping gas. Didn't own a car because I couldn't afford it at that time. I worked in the mine for between 4 and 5 years, open pit and underground. And then the opportunity came up through my aunt, Jenny Caroach. She owned a little cafe, which is close to present J.C. Flicks on Highway 50. In fact, J.C. Flicks at that time was Oxford's Market before they built the bigger building. She talked me into running this restaurant. So I went from running a bulldozer and working underground to flipping hamburgers. Mm-hmm. That was quite a change.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that little restaurant. It only seated 35 people, but it was a good moneymaker. So after the first year, then I bought another restaurant down the highway, which we call Johnny's Cafe, and it's now a Mexican restaurant. I don't know the name of it, do you? I can't think of the name of it, on Lower Highway 50. After the first year of owning that, a bunch of my customers that had to drive to Canyon City to bowl talked me into putting in a bowling alley. So I never touched a bowling ball before, didn't know a ball returned from a gutter or anything at all about it. And I had Frank Mutala build the building for four lanes, and I bought government surplus lands in Colorado Springs. I think they were around $3,500 delivered. And they wanted more than I could afford to put them in, so I hired Babe Granzola and Jack Carruthers, young Jack Carruthers. The three of us put those lanes together. They were numbered like a jigsaw puzzle, so it was pretty easy. And Frank Butalo leveled them for me and everything, and we got them sanctioned. And that was a real gold mine. We were about ready to add four more lanes. I had that till 1957 when I decided to go to California for a lot of reasons. But
wait a minute. Tell me a little bit about your service in the Marines.
Okay. I spent 2 years in the Marine Corps. I went through boot camp in San Diego, and then I was shipped over to Camp Pendleton, which is Oceanside, California. And I had put in for overseas duty, but then I'd gotten married while I was waiting, and at that time they weren't taking any married men over. The war, they had declared peace shortly after I joined, so I didn't go overseas. So I spent all my time in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton.
What division were you in?
I don't remember, Beth. I drove truck in the Marine Corps. I had put in for heavy equipment, running bulldozers and stuff like that, because that's what I knew and liked to do. But anyway, I ended up driving truck, hauling laundry and dry cleaning around to all the PXs. I had to carry a rifle and a pistol because I collected money from each PX. So that was a good experience. I enjoyed that. But I was happy to get out. Came home in 1948.
So in the 50s, you were anxious to get back to California.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I always wanted to go back. And I did. I left in 57. Moved to Inglewood, California. I was about two blocks from the Hollywood racetrack. Ended up selling cars in Inglewood, California. That was the only job I could find at the time, and that was good to me.
Were you married at the time?
Yes, I was married. I got married after I got out there to Elaine. I don't remember her last name. Boy.
That didn't last too long, did it?
No, it didn't. About 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1968, I had the opportunity to get back in the bowling business. And we bought a little 12-lane house, bowling house, and another guy. And so I was back in the bowling business. Had that for 2 or 3 years, and then had another opportunity to get in the bowling business in a new place in Apple Valley, California, close to Victorville, between San Bernardino and Barstow. And that was 16 lanes, and we built a new one. I and two other men went together on that, and that didn't do very well. We pretty well lost everything we had in less than a year. So I ended up back in Inglewood selling cars again. then back to Apple Valley selling cars in Victorville. Then in 1966, I opened a sporting goods store in Apple Valley, California. And in 60... I had met Betty, my present wife, in late 64, the same year that my mother had passed away. She passed away at the age of 54 here in Salida. And Betty and I together got the sporting goods store going. And we kept that for 13 and a half years, along with the RV, recreational vehicles, motorhomes, campers, trailers, boats. We had two locations eventually, one in Victorville and one in Apple Valley. And we did very well with it. We invested in real estate every chance we got. And we were very fortunate. We were able to retire at the age of 49 in 1979. So it's been, 25 years, I think. Yeah. We're on our 25th year. And we came back to Salida, started building a home here in 1982. We bought property in the mid-70s here on the South Arkansas River. And we started the house in 1982, moved here in late 83, and we've been here ever since. And we really enjoy it. I guess this is where we'll be. We'll end up at Fairview Cemetery.
Well, we're glad you came back to Salida. What changes do you notice now in Salida from what you grew up with?
Well, I remember as a kid, when we lived there by the ballpark, a lot of us, Bill Meals and some of the DeLeos, and I can't remember all of them, but I remember swimming in the river there. We'd jump off the bridge at Sand Lake area and kind of float down to the ballpark and get out and build a fire to thaw out. And we did that quite often in the summertime. And we would go to the usually Friday evening or afternoon movie, Western. Three or four of us on one bicycle, three at least. And then Saturdays, quite often, we'd walk up to Red Rock. We called it up behind Tenderfoot Mountain. And we'd shoot bullets, 22s, off the rocks just to hear them zing over our heads. We'd tell each other to duck because we was ready to shoot. And we just playing. Luckily, nobody got hurt. I don't know. As a kid, I think life was so simple that it was wonderful. I remember really enjoying it here in Salida. It seemed like I said, everything was simpler. Everybody seemed happy. The little downtown area was just a real hustle-bustle little town. There's a lot of clothing stores, Lewis's Candy Kitchen, and another one called the Greeks down by next to Wagner's Drugstore. And we just spent a lot of time walking the streets in town and found our own thing to do. We didn't need nothing planned for us. We did our own, had our own fun, made our own fun, and just grew up that way.
Did you play ball?
Softball, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing exciting about that, just more for fun than anything. Up here behind the Skelly Motor Inn that my aunt and uncle owned.
On US 50.
On US 50, yeah. On the South Arkansas River, there were ice sheds. And I remember as a kid, they cut ice, big blocks of ice, and they had these big sheds that had 2 foot thick walls filled with sawdust. And they'd store ice for summertime use because there wasn't any refrigeration. But that was another experience. cutting and floating the ice to the conveyor belts. And in the summer, I had the opportunity for the same uncle that owned the Skelly Motor Inn. He had an ice route, and I drove the truck and delivered ice, carrying 25 pounds of blocks of ice upstairs to the old ice boxes, to people that lived upstairs above the businesses downtown. And I did that for two or three summers. I don't know how old I was then. I don't think I was more than 14, 12 or 14. I know I wasn't supposed to be driving a truck, but I did.
About that time, they were growing a lot of lettuce in the valley, weren't they? The
yes.
ice was necessary.
Yes, where Picey Hilton's lumber is, that was there were lettuce sheds there and granite sheds all in that area along the railroad track. It was a big lettuce-producing place. In fact, Danny Granzala and his mother grew lettuce here on the property we live on now, because their place was right across the river from us. They used this for raising lettuce and other things. I don't know why. I guess the industry for that has gotten so big that they quit doing it here in Salida many, many years ago. And when they got refrigerated railroad cars and stuff, they could haul it clear across the country, so it just kind of put these guys here out of business. I don't know what else I could tell you, Beth.
Can you think of any characters around town that were outstanding when you were growing up? Business leaders or...
Well... No, I remember a few of the stores, Dufton's Clothing Store, which was down on Lower F, across from what used to be the main bar. And then Sam DeLeo had a beautiful clothing store on the corner of 1st and F. And next to him was Flory's Shoe Store, which was excellent. And I don't know why we don't have a store like that here today, and clothing stores for that matter. Something besides Walmart, but we don't. There were a lot of businesses downtown. Well, that was the only place. But today, the big superstores like Walmart, it just I guess they can't make it. But it was a lot different in those days.
Now, this was a railroad town. Had a lot of railroad activity. Do you remember anything about that?
Not too much, Beth. I didn't get involved in the railroad, but I remember the roundhouses and the depots. As a kid, we used to kind of play around the depot. It was interesting to see the different people coming and going. Then I remember the train going over Marshall Pass and L Gauge Railroad. It was exciting to see the trains, passenger trains, come to town and see the people get off the trains and walk across the bridge to the restaurants and hotels. Other than that, I don't remember much about it.
Do you remember any hobos that ride?
Yeah, they'd spend time along the river and in the big cottonwood trees, wherever they could camp for a few days. I remember them. Yes, they were always along the railroad tracks, mainly close to the towns, where they could get some handouts, I guess. But no trouble with them at all, that I can recall.
How about this big hot spring swimming pool out here? There's also one at Poncer Springs. Did you ever use that?
Well, this one that's here on Highway 50, it wasn't here when I was a kid. We spent most of our time riding bicycles down to Wellsville. which was a real nice hot springs, nice pool. The hot baths were there too. In fact, the pool is still there. I think the water's still in it. You can see it from the highway, from Highway 50. Mm-hmm. And up at Poncha, my dad used to go up there quite often. He had sinus trouble real bad, and that steam seemed to help him. They had the steam baths. The rooms were little tiny rooms, and I believe there were cement tubs, and you'd get the water as hot as you wanted it, or just have steam come out. It was really something. Really helped him with his problems. The pool up there, I don't remember much about. I think it was round, and there was also one at Mount Princeton. But whenever we'd get a ride up there, we'd go there. I guess there's still one there.
A bit.
I don't know why they haven't done anything with the one in Wellsville, but I guess maybe it didn't pay, so they closed it up a long, long time ago. We hauled rock out of, with my grandparents and uncles, out of what they call Taylor Gulch, which is directly across the highway from Wellsville, and go back up in there, and we mined limestone there too when I was 15, 16 years old. Hauled that down to the railroad in Wellsville. There was two bridges there at one time, one directly across and then the one that's there now. I don't know why they took the one out, but that's the one we used to haul across. It's hard to remember everything without thinking about it.
When you were growing up in Salida, did you belong to any clubs or organizations, Boy Scouts or anything?
No, not Boy Scouts. The only club that that I got involved in was the Eagles.
And what was that?
It's like the Elks. Elks and Moose Lodge and those. Eagles was no longer here. I remember one other thing. In 1949, my brother and I and a few others got involved in the first Whitewater River race down the Arkansas. And at that time, it was all the way from Salida to Canyon City.
That what they call FIBARC now?
Yes, yeah. What it was a Junior Chamber of Commerce in Canyon City, and the Junior Chamber of Commerce here had some kind of a bet going. My brother would be more familiar with the circumstances. Our boat, the first year, was a P-38 gas tank, and Al Geist, which owned a body shop up here on the highway, welded pontoons on the side of it. And Bob Pasquale was one of the men that was in the boat. My brother and I were both married at the time, so we didn't want to do it. And another one was Chip Berry. Him and Bob started the race with this boat. The water was so high then, there was a footbridge just between Salida and Wellsville. And you had to portage because the water was hitting the bottom of the bridge. Well, the boat was too heavy for two men to take out of the water. So that was the end of the race for our boat. It was called the Spino Music Company boat. My brother and my dad had slot machines and jukeboxes and pinball machines. Oh, back to the boat. I think it's still in the FIBARC Museum.
Is that right?
I heard that. I haven't gone down there to look. I have, but every time you go there, the door's closed, locked,
or
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to check into that someday. Where was I?
Did you just go down the river that one year? Or?
With that boat, yeah.
Yeah, you did other times too, though.
They did with other types of boats.
Yeah.
that boat would have worked good if we could have got under the bridge. But they did shorten it. I think they only went to Kansas City twice, if I remember right. That was too long a race. They shorted it down to what it is now, which is only 26 miles.
To Cotopaxi.
To Cotopaxi, right. Yeah, that was going through the gorge was too dangerous anyway. In that high water. There weren't anything like kayaks or rubber rafts or anything in those days. There were canoes and just more man-made boats, handmade. What else can I think of, Beth?
Well, we're sitting here in John's trophy room with all these animal heads on the walls looking at us, listening to our story. Makes me think you have a hobby of hunting.
My wife and I started trophy hunting. I've hunted all my life, even when I lived here. When we had our sporting goods store in California, a lot of our customers would come in expecting to see some trophy animals hanging on the wall. And at that time, all we hunted for was the meat, which we both enjoy. So we decided we better start hunting for some trophies, nice racks to have mounted to put on the wall. And so we started hunting British Columbia in 1976, and since then I've gathered quite a few trophies. We've been to British Columbia hunting 8 times and Alaska 3 times, and taken quite a few of the animals that we have now hanging on our walls. Luckily for me, my wife hunts right beside me, and she has better trophies than I do. She's taken, we've both taken 4 Canadian moose each and 4 caribou each. She has a Colorado moose, first lady to take a moose in Colorado. And, of course, a lot of elk hunting. And,
who shot the buffalo?
Oh, I shot the buffalo in Custer State Park, South Dakota, 1977. And he was a big one. It took us 5 years to eat him.
Lots of good meat.
We've had a lot of good times. We still go to British Columbia. We're planning on going again this year. And we usually ride 100 miles or more on horseback in the bush country, 200 to 300 miles from any roads. We enjoy doing that kind of thing, getting as far away from people as we can. This could possibly be our last trip up there. At the age of 75, I don't know how many more times we can do it.
Well, how about fishing? That goes along with the hunting.
Fishing we do a lot of. We do a lot of backpacking still. We pack into the high mountain lakes and beaver dams. And we spend time in Arizona at Lake Havasu 2 and 3 months each winter fishing for striped bass. And that's a good place to be in the wintertime. But we're getting to where we're wanting to stay home more. So we spent more time at home this winter, and we haven't minded it at all. The weather, this was a cold winter, and we still enjoyed being home.
Is there any place around this Salida area that you particularly like to go to camp or hunt?
Yeah, our best place, our favorite place, is between Marshall Pass and Monarch Pass. And needless to say, the mountain bike people have taken over that trail. So they've ruined it as far as horseback riding on it. We can walk it without any problems, but that is one of our most favorite spots. Now we are enjoying what's that park? Sawatch Park. Jeez, couldn't think of it. Between Sawatch and Gunnison. There's no mountain bikers there, so we can ride our horses into that park and into the Lagerita Wilderness. So we spend a lot of time over there, and there's good fishing there, too.
Have you got any favorite hunting stories you want to tell us?
Not really. We've had some hairy ones as far as airplanes, bush planes, and stuff like that. But no, I don't think so. I think all of them were good.
That's just a way of life with you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing real special. A lot of fun, a lot of hardships, but a lot of exciting moments, and too many to even talk about, I guess.
Well, anything else you want to add to this?
No, not that I can think of, Beth. I think at this point in our life, we're just very, very happy to be living here in Salida and happy with the way things are right now. We're both in good health and still enjoying everything we'd like to do.
Well, that's good, John. Thank you very much for recording this for the library. I think you've given us a new idea of what Salida is like from your lifetime. Thank you very much.
Okay, Beth. There's probably a lot more.
See, I should have been sitting down here to help you with your memory. Did you talk about Whitehorn and the booth?
Yeah.
And your mom on horseback delivering mail?
Yeah, I did, honey.